Let's turn together in our Bibles now. Our scripture reading comes from Luke 11. In Luke 11, we find not only the Lord's Prayer, but we find Jesus Christ teaching his disciples concerning the blessing that we have in prayer. So we're going to be reading the first 11 verses of Luke 11, and that's found on page 1007 in our Pew Bibles. We'll also be reading in the back of our songbooks from Lord's Day 45, so we'll turn there in just a moment. First, let's read from Luke 11, the first 13 verses. Luke 11 at verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And that's as far as we're reading in Luke 11. Then I encourage you to turn the back of your songbooks to Lord's Day 45, and that's found on page 893 in the back of our songbooks. And we're going to be looking at question and answer 116, 117, and 118. But the focus is particularly 16 and 117. So Lord's Day 45, I'll read the question and let's respond with the answer together. Question and answer 116. Why do Christians need to pray? And the answer is because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. Then question and answer 117, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? And the answer is, first, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. Then finally, question and answer 118, what has God commanded us to ask of him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. And that prayer that Christ taught us is, of course, the Lord's Prayer. We pray for God's blessing on the preaching of his word and for his spirit of grace to dwell richly in our hearts. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when is the last time you have asked yourself, why am I praying? For most of us, if we've been raised in a Christian home, we've been taught since childhood that prayer is expected, prayer is normal, it's natural. It seems expected that before we have a meal, we open with prayer. When we finish our meal, we close with prayer. Before we go to bed, we pray together. This prayer seems a natural, normal, expected part of our life, but have you ever stopped to consider the question, why do we pray? Why do we spend time in the hidden inner closet of prayer? Well, today as we move on in the catechism, we are transitioning, we're moving from the Ten Commandments, the application of the law as a rule of gratitude, to the Lord's Prayer and its consideration. But before we consider the specific aspects of the Lord's Prayer, looking at each petition in the weeks to come, we begin by asking general questions concerning prayer itself, its foundation, function, and purpose. So Lord's Day 45 really acts kind of like an introductory course on prayer. It's our Praying 101 course. What is prayer? Why should we pray, and what is its use? Today we consider this theme, Jesus Christ teaches us how to pray a godly and acceptable prayer. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ teaches us how to pray a godly and acceptable prayer. In our first point, we ask the question of why. Why is it that we should pray? Many people go throughout their lives sort of on autopilot. They do the same thing every day because that's their routine. They never ask the question, why am I doing this? Why am I living my life this way? Why do I go to work? Why am I getting out of bed this morning? However, as you may have noticed in the past year and a half, during the pandemic, people living in North America have been given ample time to ask the question, why? Why do I go to work? Why am I doing this? And they couldn't answer the question. They didn't know why they were doing these things that they were doing. There was not much motivation to continue to do what they had been doing. Well, when we come to prayer, we need to ask ourselves the question, why do we pray? Why is it so important that we as God's people are consistently before the throne of grace and mercy? Question and answer 116 asks the question this way, why do Christians need to pray? Why is it so important? Why is prayer as natural as breathing is to us as creatures, as spiritual beings? Why is prayer such an important, vital part of our lives? Now, the answer given to us in 116 is various in form, but we start by learning that prayer is present because we are thankful. The first reason a Christian prays is because a Christian is thankful. Notice that the first thing, the first reason why we pray is not so that we pray to get something. We pray to give something. It's a totally radically different way of approaching prayer. We pray not to get something, but to give something. What are we giving? We are giving glory to God in prayer. The first reason we pray is not to get something from God, but to give God something, to give Him praise. We start with adoration. It is in prayer that the heart is given expression to the praise that we feel. Prayer is thanksgiving. We saw this when we looked at the Ten Commandments. One of the ways that we show our gratitude is by dedicating ourselves to living lives of holiness and obedience, the third use of the law. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice of praise. So we keep the law because we are thankful, but we pray because we are thankful. Christians are praying people because Christians are thankful people. We know what God has done for us. We acknowledge His blessings. Prayer is a normal and natural part of being a new creature, resurrected to see all of the blessings that God has given to us. Psalm 116, verse 12 puts it this way. We read this earlier. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? What can I give God for all that He has given to me? There is nothing I can give. I can't pay God back for all the blessings that He has given to me, the psalmist says. But what I will do is this. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will praise Him. I will glorify Him. I will adore His holy name. So we pray as Christians because we are thankful. That's our response to God's goodness and His grace. But we pray not only because we are grateful and thankful, we pray because prayer is necessary. Prayer is, as the Catechism rightly says, required of us. Prayer is a necessary response. God calls us, He commands us to call upon Him. Now, as we will see, praying is for our good. We do benefit. I'm not denying the fact that there is a blessing connected to prayer, but we start by saying that prayer is what God calls us to do. Prayer is a necessary part of a Christian life. It is impossible. There is no such thing as a non-praying Christian. Jesus said as much in Luke 11, verse 9, ask, seek, and knock. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me on the day of trouble, and I will rescue you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. Did you catch that, children? What is God's will for you? What does God want you to do? How does God want you to live? He wants you to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks to God. That is what God wants you to do. That's what He calls you to do. So we pray because we are thankful, yes, but we also pray because it is a necessary part of the Christian life that God calls us to do. He wants to hear from you. He calls us. He delights us. He delights in us, and He delights to hear from us as His children, and we delight to call upon Him as our Heavenly Father. But we also pray, thirdly, because of what we are promised in prayer. We pray because God promises to give His grace and Spirit to those who ask. So the greatest gift that we are called to pray for, to ask for, is this, the grace and the Spirit of God. So to get back to the question that we are considering, why will we pray? We will pray because we are needy. And what do we need? We need God's grace and we need His Spirit. To put this in a negative way, we should not expect God to give us His grace and to grant us His Spirit if we don't ask for these things in prayer. I know I made this point a few weeks back, but it bears repeating that as God's people in our prayer, one of the things that is likely the most neglected aspect of our prayer is this, that we do not pray consistently for the Holy Spirit. And of all the things that God could give us and has promised to give us, it is specifically the Holy Spirit that is promised in the end of Luke 11. Perhaps you read this. Of all of the good things, Luke here says in verse 11, if we have fathers who give us food and loving fathers who are imperfect, but they still give us what is necessary for the body. But our earthly fathers are fallen. They are imperfect. Yet being imperfect, they still give us what is good. But God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, is perfect. But what is the good thing that Luke here says the Heavenly Perfect Father gives to His children? The Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit, Luke 11, verse 13, the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Yes, our Father is the fountain source of every good and perfect gift. But one of the best gifts that He gives to us is His Holy Spirit. As God's people, we are called to be people of prayer. People of prayer that are thankful, people of prayer that are obedient, praying because prayer is what we are called to do. And people in prayer who acknowledge what is the greatest gift we should be praying for? God's grace and His Holy Spirit. So the final reason given here, the reason why we will be praying people, is because God gives His grace and Spirit to those who ask. Not that God's work is hindered by man, but rather it is a specific promise. God says He will give the Spirit to those who pray and thank Him for this Spirit. We pray because we want good gifts. We pray because we want to receive what God has promised to give us. Well, now that we understand why it is, as Christians, we will pray, we move on in our second point to consider how it is that we are to pray. Do we need instructions when it comes to prayer? Some people like to live their lives without the use of instructions. For example, if you've ever come home from IKEA with a particular function that you have to perform in this piece of furniture, You know how frustrating it is to get halfway through the process only to find out you put something where it wasn't supposed to go. Instructions help us to get things right. But the question before us is this: do we need an instruction manual for prayer? Is it necessary for God to teach us how to pray? Is prayer something that we can figure out all by ourselves using human logic and wisdom? And although we often hear in the United States, we often hear our nation's leaders, our presidents, who say to us on TV, I want you to pray for this, I want you to pray for that. The fact remains that fallen people will not figure out how to pray. Fallen people do not know how to pray, or even who to pray to. Prayer is something that needs to be taught. We need to learn how to pray properly. And that is why Jesus' disciples came to him in Luke 11, verse 1. As Jesus was praying, his disciples came to Jesus and says, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So in a sense, when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, it's not just a form that we pray these specific words, but it is a teaching manual instructing us of what prayer should look like, the process of prayer. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Now, we don't need to say these exact words of the Lord's Prayer every time we pray, but rather we are being taught about the nature and flow of prayer as we're going to be seeing over the next weeks to come. So as we look at question answer 117, we begin by finding out that there are actually wrong ways to pray and right ways to pray. Question answer 117 says this: how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? Did you ever consider the fact that there are prayers that God does not listen to? It is possible for people to quote-unquote pray, but to pray in such a way that God is not pleased and he shuts his ears. It is possible for a praying person to be so disobedient that God does not listen to that prayer. He doesn't heed it. It's possible to pray in a general sense, but if you do not know what prayer is and who we are praying to, that prayer is nothing but a vain exercise in futility. So we not only want to know why we should pray, as we found in our first point, we need to know how we should pray in order to pray in a way that God will hear and in which God will take delight in. So the first aspect of a God-honoring, God-listening-to kind of prayer is that prayer comes, as question answer 117 begins, prayer comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. The words of the prayer are not something that we simply repeat, vain babbling. It's from the heart. It comes from the seat of our emotions, our desires, our thoughts, our minds are engaged. We mean the words that we are saying. But it not only comes from the heart, but it goes to, it is directed to, 117 continues, to the one true God. Prayer that God hears is prayer that is directed to God. To which God? The only God that is, the only true God. The one true God who is and who was and who is to come, the God who is revealed in scriptures. To say this in another way, prayers offered to Baal or Buddha or Allah or any false god, prayer just thrown up into the sky without any direction or specific person in mind, is simply empty words and man's imagination. These verbal litanies have no purpose or power other than to make the one who is praying to feel good about themselves. True prayer is prayer that is offered to the one true God, the God of creation, the God of redemption, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of adoption, the God of election, the God of predestination, the God who loves, the God who saves, the God who ransoms and redeems. It is this God who is the focus of our prayer, who must be the recipient, the direction in which we pray to. It is the God that we pray to who rules over all, and all things happen according to his purpose and plan, and nothing happens outside of his control. Nothing happens apart from his sight. So we pray to the one true God who is, and we pray to God, bringing our everything to Him. Proper prayer is prayer that acknowledges that we are to ask for the things that He calls us to ask for. Question and answer 117 continues, we pray from the heart to the one true God, asking for everything that He has commanded us to ask of Him. So our prayer must be in submission to His Word. What are we to pray for? How are we to pray? We are to pray according to God's Word, according to His commandments. The petitions that we bring to the Lord, what we ask for, is governed by His Word. Asking that He would supply our need, as question and answer 118 says, what are we to pray for? Everything that we need, spiritually and physically. Well, now that we've looked at praying to the one true God from the heart, the second aspect of our second point is, what does the heart of the praying person look like? What is the attitude of the heart of the person who is praying? We are to pray from the heart, but the heart must be in a proper posture and position. The heart of a praying person is not a heart of pride, but it is a heart of humility. Secondly, question 117 says, second, we must recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic prayer, to God's majesty in prayer. We humble ourselves before His majestic presence. In prayer, we come to God and His sovereign majesty, acknowledging our need, acknowledging our misery, acknowledging how we are so undeserving. We do not come into God's presence in pride, thinking that we can somehow boast in our own ability, that we can trust in our own merits or works. We are coming with the humility of someone who knows our sin and misery. Perhaps the clearest explanation of the proper attitude of the heart of a praying person is found in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. That's in Luke 11. Now, children, you all remember this, a parable that Jesus gave in Luke 11. You have two people that are coming to God in prayer. The first person is the Pharisee. The Pharisee draws near to God's presence, to the house of prayer. He comes into God's house with his eyes lifted up, boasting in his own ability. This is the prayer of the Pharisee. I thank you, God, that I am so much better than everyone else, particularly better than that sinner back there. Thanking God that he, the Pharisee, was so great and that God had chosen such a worthy recipient of his grace. While the tax collector remains at a distance, beats his breast and cries out for in humility, crying out for mercy. Which one of those two children went home justified? Which one of those two offered acceptable prayer? Which one of those two found forgiveness and grace? It was not the proud Pharisee. It was the humble sinner, the tax collector, that went home forgiven. So proper prayer that is acceptable in God's presence and in His sight is prayer offered in humility, knowing and confessing our sins. In true prayer, we confess our needs. There is no room for boasting or pride or thinking we can somehow manipulate God or earn something from God's presence. We come acknowledging our need. And our greatest need is this: to be forgiven, to be saved. And that's what Psalm 116 continues to bring to mind, to bears. I called upon the Lord in my day of trouble. He heard, He answered me, and He saved. Or Romans 10, verse 13, call upon the Lord, and He will save you. When we come into the presence of our God, we must remember how Isaiah responded when he came into the presence of a holy God. That's in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was brought up by the Spirit into the Lord's presence, and in getting in the Lord's presence, appearing, presenting himself before a thrice holy God, his response, his attitude, was one of acknowledgement, his unworthiness to be there. As Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. I am a sinner. I come from a people of polluted lips and unclean hands and hearts. So in prayer, we are coming sin-stained before a holy God. We come in presence, to his presence with humility, but we also come into his presence with faith. Not only do we recognize our sin and misery, but as the third point in 1:17 says, we come resting on this unshakable foundation, even though we don't deserve it. God will surely listen to our prayers. Humility, sorrow for sins, yes, but also praying with trust. A person who prays who has no faith is a person who doesn't really pray. Because without prayer, it is impossible to please God. Without prayer, a person wouldn't come into God's presence asking for what he ought to ask for. James 1, verse 6 puts it this way, the person who asks, let him ask with faith. Without doubting, don't be like a wave tossed on the sea by the wind. Come into God's presence with faith. Faith that is built upon the foundation, built upon the truth. Yes, I do not deserve. Yes, I am unworthy. But there is someone who has gone before. That curtain which once barred my access into God's presence has been torn into a new and living way has been paved for us. We can come into God's presence with the confidence of children, knowing that we have a heavenly Father who has adopted us in his grace. We are not alien strangers. We are not cast out, forsaken, neglected. We are loved, embraced, and brought near. So we come to God with a heart of faith. And there are two main reasons why we can come with faith. The first main reason we can have faith is because we trust in God's promises. That's the ending of 1:17. As promised in his word. In God's word, he promises to hear us when we call. Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. And that was the whole point of the end of Luke 11, our passage that we read. If we have earthly fathers who are imperfect, yet give us good things when we ask, will not our perfect heavenly Father give us good things? When we call for our needs to be met, and when we ask principally for his grace and his spirit, will God give us rocks, snakes, and scorpions? Surely not. John 14, verse 13, ask of me in the name of Jesus, and I will do it. So we pray with the confidence that rests on the promises of God. But the second reason, the second foundation for faith-filled prayer is because we are not alone in our prayers. We do not pray in our own ability, nor are we praying by ourselves. We pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus is our intercessor, our advocate, our mediator. What is Jesus doing in heaven? He is praying for us. And when we pray in Jesus' name, we are acknowledging, Jesus, my prayers, my stuttering words have no authority and no power in themselves. But you, our heavenly high priest, have taken my prayers and brought them into heaven. Your blood has secured the access of my prayers into the Father's presence. So we do not pray alone. We pray with the comfort of an intercessor in glory. But that's not it, is it? There is another who prays with us. We not only have Jesus in heaven praying for us, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, praying within us. The Holy Spirit who puts into words the groans of our heart. The Spirit who knows our needs from within. And the Son who knows our needs up above. So we can pray with confidence, we can pray with faith, because we rest, we hold, we claim the promises of God, and we have the Son and the Spirit praying with us in our prayers. For that reason, we can be bold in our prayers, praying with a heart of humility, but also a heart of faith, submitting to God's will, knowing that His will is good, and that all is being worked for our good and for His glory. We pray with the confidence of children, knowing that God will avert all evil or work it out for my good, knowing that He is a loving Father who has already given us the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. Will He not also give us all that is necessary for our good? To conclude, understanding the purpose and place of prayer reminds us of the need for prayer. Why do we pray? Why do you pray? What are you hoping to accomplish in your prayers? Praying is not some wish list. It's not a time for personal reflection, thinking good thoughts. Prayer is not a simple looking at ourselves, setting our schedules for the day to come, or meditating upon what has accomplished this past day. Prayer is communion. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a talk between heaven and earth. In prayer, we come before our God. We start with adoration. We give thanks. We praise God's holy name. We come to prayer confessing our sins and misery. We are thankful for what God has done. And we call, we ask for the things that we are called to ask for. A helpful acronym spells the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, when it comes to prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. These are the things that Jesus calls us to pray for. And this is how Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. As Psalm 116, verse 17 says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. If that's what prayer is, why would we neglect, why would we forsake such a gift as this? No, God's people will be consistent in prayer because who we are and who we are being made to be. Responding to God's word, embracing His promises, trusting in Jesus Christ and filled by His Spirit. Let us be people of prayer. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of prayer. And we thank you for teaching what prayer is and prayer's place that it should have in our lives. May we be, O Lord, faithful, and as the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, so we pray, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray in a way that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Teach us to pray for the things that you call us to pray for. Teach us to pray with hearts of faith and hearts of humility so that our prayer is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.